بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مولانا علی میاں صاحب حمدہ کولز فون پورٹری آف اقبال، ایمان محکم عمل بے ہم محبت فاتح عالم، ایمان محکم عمل بے ہم محبت فاتح عالم. We speak about gaining control over the world, conquering the world, and we speak about the good old days of Islam and how the Muslims had ruled through the length and the breadth of the earth. But what is needed to be seen is what were the elements that brought about this success, this conquest, what were the elements? We speak about the Sahaba Ikram and the successes that they had gained and what achievements they had made. And then when it comes to understand what was sacrifice Sahaba Ikram had made, then we say, hum aur sahaba mein kya nisbat hai? But on the other end, then when we talk about the successes that they made, we want to go for that success, that achievement, that progress. They went here, they did this, they did this. But then we say, lekin sahaba ikram ne jo qurbaniya ki, usme se kuch aap bhi kar lo, the type of qurbani, the type of struggle, difficulties that they went through. Let alone the struggle and the striving of the Sahaba Ikram, even leaving out the basic things and doing the basic things we can't do. Basic things what we are required to do, basic things we are required to leave out that we can't do. So this equation doesn't come right. It comes right. You have the right ingredient, then you have the right result. The ingredient isn't right, but you're looking for the result. I must come out first in the examination. Matrix must come first in the examination. But then comes to work, consistency, etc., attendance. Then I don't want to be punctual on all that. But when it comes to the results, then I want to come out first. How does it work out? So you have the right type of procedure, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala willing, the right type of result comes out. But the right procedure is not there, then how do you find the right result? So Allama Iqbal says this, Iman muhkam, the first ingredient is your Iman must be unshakable. Under all circumstances, Iman must be strong. Yaqeen, Iman. No matter what the circumstance may be, but your Iman must be unshakable. You don't allow any type of problem and weakness to come onto your Iman. Yeah, sometimes what happens, for a small material gain, we can speak a lie. So for a little material gain, we can compromise our Iman, our Amal. Now that type of Iman, how can it weather the storm of all these fitnas? You want a little bit of a relaxation, a little bit of a discount on a ticket, and you can say that the child's age is 12. Because you know, he must be 12 to qualify for that discount, so you say his age is 12. Whereas they say, no, whereas the child's age is 14, 15, and you, of course, looking small, so you just... So for small things, we can give away our Iman, our Amal, we can compromise and all these type of things. Then how do you expect that strong Iman? How do you expect to get that type of conquest, that type of victory? So the first thing is that Iman must be unshakable, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance. If it's for us or against us, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ, stand out for justice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it may be against your own selves or against your own friend, own relatives. If you are so concerned about their plight, then remember, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. If you are close to them, then Allah Ta'ala is even closer. You are concealing some evidence. This on account of the pity that you take to him, the sympathy that you show him, and the love that you show him. Then remember that Allah's love for them is even closer. If you love him, you are compassionate to him. On account of your compassion and your love, you want to be considerate towards him, then the love of Allah Ta'ala for them is even greater. فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. And in spite of Allah Ta'ala being closer, then to Allah Ta'ala commands that stand out for justice. So this is the first thing that is required in this whole equation, that the iman must be unshakable, unmovable. Whether it's against our integrity, our respect, whatever it is, but that iman must be absolutely clear, absolutely strong. Imana muhkam, amala payham. And then the second ingredient is that your actions need to be consistent. There need to be punctuality on your actions. Whatever deed it may be, but you need to be punctual. At tahajjud, you're getting up all the time. That wazifa that you are reciting, then you're reciting all the time. It mustn't be that if you are, you find a mahol, an environment, then suddenly you get into the amal, and you get into the heat of doing everything, and then when you lose that environment, then everything is gone. So the amal must be consistent right through. Ali radiallahu anhu says that he heard about the fazilat of Tasbih Fatimi. So he said, for the rest of my life, I never missed it out. They asked him, even on the day of Siffin also. He said, on the day of Siffin also, I didn't do it at that time, but I did it. I did that Tasbih Fatimi. So the day of Siffin, and it was such a heavy battle, such a heavy encounter, and yet he could not forego his ma'amul. This was his ma'amul, this was the wazifa that was given to him. So he will see to it that whatever the circumstance, he will complete it, he will do it. So this is the second thing that is required. Whatever ma'amul is given to us, whatever wazifa is given to us, then we are consistent, we are punctual upon it. It mustn't be that it is just subject to we finding that type of environment. One that is going out in Jamaat, then his ma'amulat, he must be paband upon. He must be committed to it. I was in Cape Town once, and one friend comes and tells me, this person here, he says, no, he can't go out for gush on that in the winter, he can't go out for gush because the days are too short and he's encroaching on his meals, times and all that, so he can't manage it. So I told him, but if it was a business thing, then would you have compromised your business? You're compromising the gush, but would you have compromised that business? No, I would have compromised the business. Then it's not fair then. You can't compromise your business. You can't compromise the gush, but you can't compromise the business. So like that business is important, then that gush is also equally important. So if you take your ma'amulat as important as your business, then you will definitely complete it. You will definitely complete it. No, the business has to be done. So if the business has to be done, then the ma'amul has to be done as well. If you have to get up at 7 o'clock, open at 8 o'clock, or 9 o'clock, or you have to be there, then you will see that you will do it. It's not that you're doing business because you are struggling and you are going through constraints. Got more than enough, but still you will go and do that business. So similarly, that ma'amul of yours, whatever ma'amul it is, getting the takbir ula, coming early to the masjid, reading the tasbihat, so much of Quran Sharif, whatever, then that is the fuel that you require. That is to say repeatedly, ye taraqqi ka zina hai, it is the stepping stone to progress. And you leave out that ma'amul, the do's and the don'ts, whatever the mashayikh ask you, the do's and the don'ts, and you don't do them, you're not punctual upon them, and then you wonder why those results aren't coming. Why can't I have the same kayfiyat? Why can't I be the same like others? But the do's and the don'ts that they are telling you, you are not practicing it. They're saying you, qillat-e kalam, qillat-e ikhtilat, they're asking you to do all these type of things. But no, that you have your own frame of mind. and then you want the same type of results to come over. How can it happen? It can't happen. Like I say, the whole year you've been playing around, and when it comes to the matric examination, you want to come out first. It doesn't happen. That ingredient, that procedure has to be followed for you to get that type of conclusion, that type of result. So the second thing that is required is amala bayham. Whatever they tell you to do, whatever they ask you to leave out, that is called ma'mul. Whatever they ask you to do, and whatever they ask you to leave out, that is called ma'mul, and that you have to maintain a degree of punctuality right through. You tell yourself, like I'm punctual in my business, I don't compromise the business, I won't compromise this. So if you haven't done your ma'mul for the morning, you tell yourself, no, I will do it, then I'll go to the business. Then you see, the ma'mul will come on time. If you are hard on yourself in this way, that I will only go to the business, alright, if for some reason it's not your own business, someone else's business, right? So now then I will only eat after I've completed my ma'mul. Now you make it on yourself that I will only eat after I've done it, then you're not going to play around. Say, hey, today I have to stay hungry the whole day. So next day, khud akal ku akal ajayegi. Your brains will get brains the next day. One day sacrifice, the next day you'll feel no. See that today now I had left out the ma'mul, I missed out my meal. So tomorrow I say no. I'll leave out the meal and I will see to it that I will do it. So this is the second thing, amala payham, right through. Whatever the situation, whatever circumstance it is. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had come for the Deoband Jalsa, and people were meeting. This Buzurwanuddin, they are very magnanimous and very generous. So whoever comes will meet them, see them whichever time. Now, as a result, he just missed out the Takbir Ula. The Takbir Ula doesn't mean he missed out the Rakat, but at the time that the Imam said Allahu Akbar, he missed it. He just came in, perhaps the Alhamdulillah had just started. At that time he had come in. We will feel very comfortable in ourselves. Now I got the Alhamdulillah still. And we'll find hadith to support our stance also. Man wafaqa ta'aminu ta'aminul malaika. But after the namaz, the people saw him very, very gloomy. Just that takbir ula that was missed out, very gloomy. Said, what happened? He said, no, after 25 years I've missed out my takbir ula. So the one end, you look at his ilm and what excellence he had, what type of gifts Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with, the ilm, the understanding, how he had excelled in ilm. And then it comes to you practicing what he practiced. So no, I can't manage that. So for 25 years he had not missed out that takbir ula. Can you imagine? So these type of things that the Buzurgan Adin and Mashaykh show us, then we need to maintain a degree of punctuality on it and not miss it out under any circumstance. Like I say, we can forego that meal, it's alright. We can forego any other pleasure, but that ma'mul has to be done. And we take it upon ourselves that no, that ma'mul has to be done, I will do it. It will take place. Then you can't say, no, hey, I got caught up here, I got caught up there, and I couldn't complete my ma'mul. You can't say that. As a last resort, if you can't even miss out the meal, some unforeseen circumstances, now what do you do? Someone, there was an emergency, now you have to go. Then you complete it whilst you are traveling, going by car, coming back by car. Complete that ma'mulat of yours whilst you are traveling. But do complete it. Don't leave it out. Right. You hear of Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah and the punctuality of his ma'mulat. For 40 years, Fajr namaz with Isha wuzu. See, you're talking of what excellence and what strides he made in ilm and fiqh and etc. Whatever, right? But then did you see also his punctuality? He remained punctual. Whatever he had taken upon himself, he maintained it right till the end. 40 years now, you're seeing. 40 years he must have, you see, he made at least about 50 hajjas, right? So that hajj, in that zamana, how difficult it was. Traveling by caravan, camel, etc. In all that, he maintained this. He didn't weaken down under these circumstances. Under all circumstances, he maintained that. What happens to us when you're going for one safar? So 1 week now, he must take off, tired. 1 week, at least 2-3 days, you're out of the count. See? And here, the man maintained all this for 40 years. Safar, hazar, whatever. 40 years, imagine. At 40 years, he must have got fever, flu, whatever. sicknesses and problems, someone must have died, someone must have been born, whatever it was, someone was getting married, an engagement. So for that we can take out the time, can't we? And we can miss out everything else. So similarly, we need to maintain this type of consistency in our amal, whatever amal we take up. Where there's a will, there's a way. You're going for a wedding, now you can come earlier to the masjid, what's wrong? You don't have to be there right till the azan starts. You don't have to be there. Come here half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, three quarter hour, just come to the masjid and complete your ma'amulat. You have to recite the Quran Sharif, complete your recitation of the Quran Sharif. Now I just need to do some work. You can excuse yourself very nicely, gently, politely. I got some work. Just going to go to the masjid a little bit. I'll see you a little later. You came earlier, completed your ma'amulat. You did your, read your whatever you needed to complete. In this way, inshallah, there won't be a problem. Even your qazas, if there's qaza umris, I'm going early, I got a pattern of doing 10 qaza umris every day. So I'm going earlier to the masjid and I'm completing that qaza umri. Then your mind feels at ease, you feel relaxed, you have done it, your mind feels at ease. But then you take out the time. That's the most important thing, you take out the time. When you take out the time, you will find it. You look for the time, you will find it definitely. One big problem today is the cell phone. Talk about it, but it's a big problem. At any time and at any place you are, it's ringing and you're responding to it. Masjid, class, wherever. It eats away your time. So, the time that you have given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let there not be any interruption in the time that you have dedicated to Allah ta'ala. It's to Allah ta'ala I have given, I have dedicated, I have devoted this time to Allah ta'ala, there must be no interruption. After all, life was carrying on before the cell phone. So with the cell phone also life will still carry on, still continue. So let that time not be interrupted. The time I have given to Allah Pak. Half an hour, 1 hour in the day. As the Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah used to speak about giving 2 hours for Allah Ta'ala. Your wazifa, your Quran Sharif tilawat, your du'as, masnoon du'as, etc. At least 2 hours or 2.5 hours, he used to say, give every day. Then you carry on. Then you will find that you will receive that type of inspiration in your work as well. Do this, don't do this. When you complete this wazaif, then you'll find that inspiration that you require to do your work, you will find it. Man la warida lahu, man la wirda lahu, la warida lahu. Man la wirda lahu, la warida lahu. When you aren't punctual on your ma'amulat, then you won't find that type of divine inspiration to do work. Do this, don't do this, do it like this. You'll find you are punctual on this, then that work that normally would take about 2 hours, 3 hours, now in half an hour Allah Ta'ala is allowing you to do it. So really it shows it's not your brains, it's Allah Ta'ala that's helping you, He's aiding you. But when you are asking for that continuous flow of fuel, when you're receiving that fuel, then you'll find that work is happening very easily. But there's an interruption in the flow now, that work can't take place. Why? Upar se wo aa raha tha. Madad aa rahi thi upar se. And you stopped the flow. Why you stopped the flow? You stopped your ma'mulat. The do's and the don'ts, whatever Allah Pak asked you to do, or your mashayikh and elders had asked you to do, there was an interruption in that. Now you find that there is a weakness in that flow. So this is the second thing that Allama Iqbal is saying. Amala payham. Then remain firm in your actions. Your faith and your yaqeen, your conviction about Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't let there be any type of weakness in that. Whatever it is, but don't let there be any weakness. I know I'm going to read this, I'm going to join this person here, and my faith is going to be affected. My thinking is going to be affected, it's going to be influenced. The type of yaqeen I need to have in the akhirat, the type of yaqeen I need to have for the different deeds. I will do this, and this will happen for me. So I know this thought of mine and this yaqeen of mine will be affected. So why must I go in that line? So I don't allow my faith to be affected, my yaqeen and conviction to be affected, and similarly I don't allow any type of interruption in my amal. This is the second thing he says. And the third ingredient, or the third thing in this procedure is muhabbat. Muhabbat, love. You see, this is a very delicate thing, very, very delicate thing. Right, many people you will find that they got iman, right? The iman is strong, and they're consistent also as far as the actions are concerned, they're consistent, they are regular about it. But then it comes to muhabbat and love, showing ikram, showing muhabbat, showing good character, high degree of character, sublime character, there you'll find they are slipping, they are wavering. And remember, shaitan looks for this. This is the room, this is that angle, this is that weak end, you know, that shaitan looks for. He knows he can break you down for this. Where you become a little bit aggressive, a little bit rude, a little bit abrupt, impolite, and there are shaitan has found a room to break you down. Many a times when you are aggressive, you are rude, you are unkind, uncouth, you are not considerate in your talking, in the way that you interact with people, then you just collapse. You see, for days afterwards you don't have a settled mind. Mind is not settled. Why did I say these words? Why did I behave in this manner? I shouldn't have said this. For days thereafter you don't have that balanced and clear mind. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received some Jews, and some of them said some words that were not right, inappropriate. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, it was natural for her to feel hurt about it. So she says, Alaykum al-la'na, the curse of Allah ta'ala to you. She tells the Jews that may the curse of Allah ta'ala be upon you, and may Allah ta'ala be angry with you. So Rasulullah Paksam cautioned her, Aisha radiallahu anha, alayki birrifk. Said Aisha, you be soft. You be soft and you be lenient. But didn't you hear what they said, Ya Rasulullah? How could they use such words on you? Rasulullah Paksam went on to explain that when there is softness, when there is beauty in kalam, ma yakunu fi shayin illa zanahu, it will beautify that speech. Whatever response you received, no matter what response you receive, how that person speaks to you, but you speak in a gentle, polite and a kind way. He is spoken to you in a rough way. He spoken to you in an uncouth way, in a way that was impolite, that was hurtful. But you speak to him in a kind and courteous way. You'll find that person will start feeling embarrassed afterwards. Why I had to be so aggressive, and why I had to be so uncouth and impolite? No matter what, but we be kind and we be polite. Here, that person, imagine, he is saying improper words for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, aggressive, hurtful words. But the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't want Aisha radiallahu anha to lose her politeness, her compassion, and her beautiful speech. You maintain that beautiful speech, even though this person is using that type of words. But you speak in a polite way. Don't you lose your kindness on account of their stupidity. He acted foolishly, he acted stupid in a stupid way. Should you also act foolishly? مَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَمَا نُزِيَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. And when this politeness and this consideration is removed from anything, then it will make it look very ugly and unpleasant, no matter what good intentions you've got. But this ingredient was removed, this ingredient of politeness, consideration, love, approach. You're not considerate. Now on account of that, what happens? That intention of yours in its place, that amal of yours is in its place, that deed of yours is in its place. But now it will make this amal of yours very, very ugly, unpleasant, unacceptable. Our mashayikh, they were very, very particular about this. That how you approach, how you conduct yourself, tongue, the use of the tongue, the care of the tongue. And at this point you must remember that tongue, al-qalamu ihda al-lisanain, like you speak with this tongue here, then the pen is also a tongue. Like this is a tongue, then the pen is also a tongue. Like we need to be courteous and careful about this tongue here, then we need to be careful about the pen as well. In fact, the jarahatul qalam is ashad. The injury that the pen can cause is even worse. Because jarahatul lisan, the injury of the tongue, right? You may forget it after some time. It may just weaken down. Or you have got it in your memory, it's alright. But jarahatul qalam, this injuries of the tongue, injuries of the pen, they remain. he's got it in his paper, he's got it here, he's got it recorded. And you can't obliterate it, you can't rub it out. So that's the injury of the pen. The injury of the tongue, it's alright. It's bad, it's very bad. The man has got it locked in his mind. But the injury of the pen is even worse. So both are tongues. Al-qalamu ihdal lisanain. It's one of the tongues. Like this is the tongue, this is also a tongue. This is also used to convey, this is also used to convey that message. So our mashayikh were very particular about this. Caution of, in the use of the tongue. See in the Quran Sharif, this type of message is repeated 3 times. قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When they speak, tell them to speak well. Rasulullah SAW is being commanded to tell, قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When you need to speak, then speak well, speak good words. The Quran Sharif is repeating this. And with this, the Quran Sharif is also saying, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Whenever there is about good kalam, Allah Pak is speaking about shaitan. Shaitan looks for ways how to sow discord in your ranks, how to create dissent in your ranks and discord within your ranks. He looks for ways. So that means shaitan, he takes a keen interest in human discussions and human speech. He takes a very keen interest. Because he says, I know I can crack them here. I can break them down here. Just spur you up, you know. Just spur your emotions a little bit and then you say something. You can see actually from the person's lips, you can actually see now something coming just now. And the person is a little bit hot, he's a little bit heated. From the lip movement, you can make it out. Now I need to just protect myself. Something is coming just now. So when you see your tongue just moving like this, then you rather just hold back. You can see that, you know, that shaking of the lips, you rather just hold back. That's an indication. Allah Pak already gave you an indication. You know, before the rains, there is a wind. يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحِ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ إِذَيْ رَحْمَتِي. So similarly, as a نَذِيرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, Allah Ta'ala has given you this wavering of the lips. The thing that the lips begin to waver. You understand now? Now my anger has got the better over me, so I must keep quiet. I don't speak now. Let me get calm and composed. When I'm calm and composed and I'm back in my composure, let me speak then only. I don't speak in this frame of mind. So this has been repeated in the Quran Sharif three times. قُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَن يَحْضُرُونَ. And then the same verse you'll find next to this verse or before this word, اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That evil treatment, repulse it with a good treatment. He worked evil towards you, but you be good towards him. Again in the 24th sipara, again same thing. إِذْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. And before that or after that, you'll find something about shaitan. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Something, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. You'll find something about shaitan. Shaitan, he found an opportunity. See, the tongue, very easily. And you also think, tongue is a small thing now. You know, like spending 1,000 rand, you'll think 10 times. Right? But the use of the tongue, so easy. I can just say it now. So easily I can say it, so let me just say it. I need to say it, let me just say it. Let me get it off my chest, let me just say it to him. So that shaitan takes a very, very keen interest in human discussion, in human talk, communication, human discussion. He takes a lot of interest. So Allah Pak says, when you see this type of condition, what you need to do is, you ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. Ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. This gift is only bestowed to those people that are of great fortune. Patience, people of great fortune, only they are blessed with this gift. What gift? The gift of repulsing that evil with good. He spoke to you in an evil way, in an uncouth, impolite manner, but you replying in a good, couth, in a calm manner. If you just think sometimes, you'll find good answers also. Sometimes you can just, in a polite manner, you can just keep the person quiet. In the British Parliament, there was a whole argument carrying on, session was carrying on. And the woman from this side, also a politician, she is saying her opposition. You know, in the, you have an opposition party. So she's saying, you know, had I been your wife, I would have poisoned your tea. You know, I would have placed poison in your tea. So immediately he replies, had I been your husband, I would have drunk the poison. That I would have drunk that poison of yours. So when you are calm and you are composed, you can do a lot of things. But when you, the moment you lose it, now what you needed to do, what you needed to say, you lost everything. Everything is gone. There's more times around this Quran incident. That one Banya, his daughter was affected with jinn, you see. And this person tried everything what he could try, go to Amis, everything, and it didn't work out for him. Eventually, someone told his Banya, you know, this muazzin that is in the masjid, you go to him, he'll fix you up. They played a trick on him. Go to this muazzin in the masjid, he will. Now, that jinn was such a powerful jinn, you know, someone comes to pull him out, he will hurt you, he will actually put you onto the roof, let you suspend from the roof, you know. So he was up to some bad tricks, this jinn. Now they went, this Banya went and told this muazzin, sir, you know, I heard you can take it out. No, I can't. I said, I can't do it. No, you'll have to do it. Now he's an influential person, India, influential person, he can put you down somewhere. So eventually he got him, said, no, I'll give you 1,000 rupees. Now 1,000 rupees, that muazzin is calculating within himself, I'm getting 5 rupees a month, right? And 1,000 rupees, meri zindagi ka kam ho jayega. You know, it's calculating, hey, whole life. I'll be set up. 1,000 rupees. One side is fear, raja and khauf. Yeah? One side is fear, one side is hope also. And he's going in the state. So he came up to that house. The moment he came, then the jinnas are speaking. Yeah, who's come to take me out? You come. I'll pull you by the neck just now, I'll hang you up, I'll suspend you on the roof just now. Hazrat, hum aapke riaya ke adna aadmi hai. You know, from your subjects, we are small people, very, very small people. This muazzin is speaking. Hum aapke riaya ke adna kisam ke aadmi hai. We are very, very small, very, all your subjects we are. We live out of your kindness, you see. It's pataring the jinn. That is saying, you know, I don't know anything about this thing here, about taking out jinnats and all, I don't know anything about it. But this man here, he's forcing me, the way he's forcing me, I've got no alternative now. So what you do, is you just come out for 5 minutes, you know, you just come out for 5 minutes, here, he will give me 5,000 or 1,000, whatever it is, meri zindagi ka kaam ban jayega. I will be set up for the life, I'll get that whatever amount that he promised me. I won't have to go through this type of difficulties and constraints. I will be set up for life. You'll just come out for 5 minutes and go back after that 5 minutes. Yeah, mera kaam to ban jayega. Now the jinnah got a big laugh about the whole thing. He was amused. You know, just come out for 5 minutes and go back, you know. So he was amused over the thing. He says, I would have never left him. I would have never left this banya. But because you are so humble and nice to me, I'm permanently leaving this person out. You see, even the jinnat also it will work, but you speak nicely. Huh? Speak nicely, speak politely, speak well. Right? Whatever the situation, but speak well. Now you may see sometimes that the Khalifa or the Amirul Mu'mineen or someone like that, in that position he speaks in a firm tone. Now that is authority, that is a different thing. He needs to show his authority to his subjects, right? Now everybody don't become authorities now. If he could speak, then why can't I speak? He is in the position of authority and he needs to show his authority. Like you'll find a policeman speaking in a position of authority, he needs to speak like this. He needs to show power, he needs to show strength. Otherwise, he'll say, I'm a hakir, fakir, please don't drive on the left, drive on the right. You think anybody will follow the traffic regulations? They need to show some type of authority. So that is an exception to the case where man of authority needs to show some authority. See? But the general rule is that we show kindness. Whatever the situation, but we show kindness. You look at this Sahaba Kiram and look at these Arabs, even non-Muslims, you know. But they speak, even at the time of battle, with each other they speak respectfully. Even at the time of battle, you look at the Battle of Badr, and they start off a battle with a duel, you know, duel. One person from this side, one person from this side. So they challenged the kuffar, they challenged the Muslims. When challenged the Muslim, one Muslim came up from this side. Said, no, la nuridukum, nuridu ikhwanana. We don't want to challenge you. We want our brothers. See, at that time also they speak with respect. Imagine they are each other's throat. They're about to kill each other, but when they're speaking, they don't lose their respect. They don't lose that politeness of theirs. Speech is a different thing, and everything else is different. But your speech, you mustn't lose it. So the way out is to ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. You can see now the wavering of the lips. You can see now the pulse is you know, it's increasing. You can see that something is wrong within you. Then the immediate thing that you need to be doing is A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Or in English or in any other language, Allah Ta'ala, you protect me against shaitan. Allah Ta'ala, you protect me. You protect me now. You take care of me. You keep saying it from your mind, from your heart. You say it and you will see that your temper has just gone down, subsided straight away. This is the thing that shaitan looks out for. He looks for this opportunity to break you somehow. And he'll break us with what? He'll break us with our speech. Because it's a very easy way to crack a man, to break him down, to crack him is very easy. Just let him say one word. Just let him write one word. I think just write one word, how long it will take me? It's 2-3 minutes, I'll write and I'll give it to him. Now that is already stored in his memory. He'll think for years after that, this man told me this. He used these words against me and it's stored in my memory. He will not forget it afterwards. So when we're seeing that our minds are going in that type of direction, then immediately we ask Allah Ta'ala's protection against shaitan. Because this is coming from shaitan. This type of words, this type of behavior is coming from shaitan. So immediately ask Allah Ta'ala's protection against shaitan. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, he was doing something in his orchard. And in the orchards they have small canals to see that the farm is well irrigated, you see. So some person came, and perhaps whilst he was coming, he broke one of the walls of those canals. That canal has a thin wall, you see. It has a thin wall, so it will enable the water to come through. He broke that wall. So obviously, if he's going to break that wall, that water is going to run out. So Abu Dharr was annoyed. But what was his immediate response? His immediate response, he lied down on the ground and he got messed up in the mud. What happened? Now, when you broke that, I got annoyed, I got disturbed. And I heard Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that when you get angry, then one of the things that has been advised by Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then change your posture. If you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, then lie down. If you are sitting, then lie down. But you missed your clothing. So that's alright, the clothing can be messed up. But I don't want to deprive myself from the teaching of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, if you are in that posture, then change. So I was sitting, I was standing, then I will lie down. So I lie down, and that anger also subsided. That fire, anger is from shaitan, and shaitan is from fire. And that fire wants to go up. So when you're sitting down or you're lying down, you have allowed that fire to break within you. Within you, you have made that fire subside. It broke down. You drink water or you lie down or you sit down, you find out you're not as angry as you were. You see. So these are the two things that we are told about anger. That when you're in that condition, then you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Or you change your posture. the third thing that is recommended is drink some cold water. And you'll come back to your composure, come back to your senses. Our Buzurganuddin used to emphasize on this, Husne Kalam. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihul Asab Rahmatullah Ali, right towards the end, last is about his last wasiyat, you know, his last will. The thing that he emphasized most about is Husne Kalam. Husne Kalam. Okay, whatever, virtue, dushman se bhi baat karna ho, you need to speak to your enemy also, but speak politely. Khaznam. ميثاق بني إسرائيل ألا تعبدوا إلا الله بالوالدين إحسانا وبذل القربى واليتامى والمساكين وقولوا للناس حسنا. When you're speaking to people, speak well. From that time, Allah Ta'ala knows that this is Shaitan's very easy lever he's got. How to create problem, how to stir up problems, and how to get a man ruined in his amal and his actions. Just let him abuse, just let him misuse his tongue, and he has lost all his good deeds. Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, Yaad Rakho. He pointed his finger, Yaad Rakho, ke bare se bare a'mal ka ronak musalman ki adna se adna dil azari se khatam ho jati hai. Inin se wo amal khatam ho jata hai, lekin uska ronak khatam ho jata hai. The biggest action, biggest good deed, but you hurt the Muslim brother of yours, you hurt him, hurt his feelings. That ronak, the good that you have acquired, the whole month of Ramadan, the good that you have acquired, the reward that you have acquired, the good that you have acquired, all is lost on account of hurting that Muslim. Bare se bare amal ki ronak musalman ki adna se adna dil azari se khatam ho jati hai. And don't think that if that ronak is gone, the radiance is gone, then there's any good in that action. The good in the action is gone, because the radiance is gone. Like you say, you extracted the sugar out of the cake. Will there be anything left in that cake? The cake will be still there, but the good of it is gone. The ronak of it, the excitement of that cake is gone, finished. That hoor may be there, right? But now she's blind. She's blind, she's deaf or dumb. So this is it. That whole radiance is out. That amal may remain. That amal may remain, but the ronak and the beauty, that brilliance of it is already vanished, is gone out. Hazrat Musa used to say also, says that main kisi ke dil ko aziyat pahunchane se main darta hu, mujhe dar lagta hai ki kahan kahin tu uske dil mein basa hua na ho. I fear hurting anybody's heart and his feelings. I fear maybe you, O Allah Ta'ala, are in his heart. O Allah Ta'ala, you may be in his heart and I'm causing taklif to him. Yeah. What a great thing. It may be that Allah Ta'ala is that person's heart. And now I have caused hurt, I have caused pain to him. And then I treated so lightly. No, he did wrong, I told him what I needed to tell him. There's a way to speak. It's easy to incite and to create problems is very easy. But to use your mind, understanding, composure, speak well, speak nice. Whatever you need to say, you say it, but speak well. Understand the occasion. Is it the right occasion? Is it the right time? How must I speak? How must I say it? You look at all these things, and 9 out of 10 you don't make a mistake. But you're not thoughtful, you're not understanding. You don't aage piche kuch soche baghair zaban ko harkat di, then you definitely will bring yourself into problems, bring others into problems as well. Otherwise that man, the opposition also, if you speak to him nicely, you speak well to him, many a times he will forego his right also. You're owing him money, whatever it is. But you have a nice approach, you're honest, and you speak well. You must be honest, and you speak well. He's prepared to forego his rights. But you speak correctly, have the right approach. See, that approach is so important. Thami Sarang used to quote this incident quite regularly. This is Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi was in the khidmat of his Sheikh Fariduddin Sahib Rahmatullahi. And there was a kitab, Fusul al-Hikam. So his Sheikh Fariduddin Rahmatullahi says that mere paas jo Fusul al-Hikam ka nuskha hai, wo bahut bosida ho gaya. It's worn out, you know. This copy that I've got is worn out. So Hazrat Nizamuddin, now he's still a murid, and he says, Hazrat, mere paas uska, no, falane ke paas iska achha nuskha hai. Falane ke paas uska bara achha nuskha hai. But the talk had ended there, at that point it ended. So Fariduddin Rahmatullah's son came later on and said, Malum bhi hai kya hua? Hazrat, aap se bade naraaz hai. Kya baat ho gayi? Aapne jo ye alfaz kaha, you had used these words, ke uske paas bara achha nuskha hai, bara umda nuskha hai, isko le aaye. That person has got a very good copy and we must bring it, you know. Usne usko padhne mein sahulat rahegi aapko. You will find it easy reading it. So really, aapne unke istidad-e-ilmi ke upar hamla kiya. What you have done discreetly is you have attacked his ability of reading the kitab. You know, if it's a good hafiz, if it's a good hafiz, and for him to open up the Quran Sharif, even if the pages are worn out, he can make out, right? He is a good hafiz. But koi kacha hafiz ho to, he will find it difficult to read through. Won't find it difficult. But if it's a very good hafiz, they just need to see Amalun Ta'amalun and he'll carry on, right? He doesn't need to see it so well because it's already in his mind. So aapne unke istiadad-e ilmi ke upar hamla kiya. Now, I didn't mean anything bad, man. What happened? What happened to me now? Now he's crying and he sent the son to go and intercede. Meri taraf se kusur ho gaya, kusur muaf kiya jaye. یہ ایسا کوئی قصور نہیں ہے کہ ویسے ہی معاف کر دیا جائے یہ ایسا کوئی قصور نہیں ہے کہ ویسے ہی معاف کر دیا جائے You think it's such a light thing, I'll just make you معاف like this. Anyway, two and forth, after some time, Sheikh said, alright. After a couple of days, now he says, come. دل صاف ہے سب معاف ہے دل صاف ہے اور سب معاف ہے Now my heart is cleared up for you. And everything has been forgiven. Aur dekho, ye jaye namaz hai, this musalla, jaye namaz hai, is kabhi kabhi uske upar namaz padha karo. Aur ye mera jubba hai, aur kabhi isko bhi pehna karo. Right. So the Shaykh rewarded him afterwards. Right. Now, Hazrat used to bring two things to our attention. One of the Sirah Sabrahman used to quote this incident also, and used to bring two things to our attention. One is, he says, that the Shaykh, why did he need to put him into this type of treatment? He put him into this type of treatment, that for the rest of his life, he must remember, when he's going to use his tongue, he must be very polite, very, very careful. How polite and how careful you need to be when you are working with people. Tomorrow he's going to be representing Hazrat Mawlana Fariduddin Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. When he's going to represent such a great Buzurg, that he needs to show that type of akhlaq, that type of character, that type of ways. And one slip of the tongue and you can lose everything. So if he had not put him into that training, just told him lightly, you mustn't speak like this, he would take it lightly. But he put him into that training that don't want nothing to do with you. Couple of days, 3-4 days have passed, 5 days, 1 week has passed. Now say for 1 week, 1 week I was ostracized. Sheikh had distanced me for 1 week. So he'll remember the lesson for the rest of his life. Be very, very careful, very cautious in the use of his tongue. Right? So this lesson now is implanted very deeply in him, into him. Okay? To lose someone is very easy. You just use a couple of words and you lost the person. Now you're looking at him, he's looking at you, you can't talk to him nicely, he can't talk to you nicely also. But just that couple of words that you used, couple of words, you just lost it and you used that couple of words and the relationship has been soured, has been affected, now you can't talk to him nicely, he can't talk to you nicely. So this was the one thing that Fariduddin Sahib Rahmatullah had put to him. And the second thing, the Shaykh also needs to show to him, that see, I've got no grudges for you. I did it for your own betterment. And to show you that I've done it for your own betterment, though, take this jaya namaz, musalla, and take this jubba of mine also. Normally the Shaykh won't just give it to anybody. They'll give it to the most senior person, most respected person, person that is most close to him, he'll give it to him. So take this as well. But on the side of Nizamuddin Sahib, rahmatullahi, relates this incident and he says, on his end, He says, whenever he thought of this, whenever he used to think of this incident, he says, I should get a shiver up my spine. The whole body was shiver. That how could I speak to my Hazrat in this manner? Whenever his mind went on towards this incident, he says, his whole body, pure jism mein kapkapi aa jati, ki maine aisi betuki baat kyun kari? How could I speak like this unthoughtfully? How could I speak to him in this manner? So this third thing I explained, one was iman, one was consistency in amal, and the third is muhabbat. How do we speak to people? Relationship. The tongue is one way of conveying a message, and the pen is another way of conveying a message. And both these conveyances need to be looked after very, very well. You have to think very, very carefully. Many a times we feel, no, I know how to speak, so I'm going to just say things. I know how to write. Sometimes that speech, learning that speech or learning that writing is a lanat, is a curse for a person. Because you don't know how to use your tongue. Though you may be good in orating. Good in narrating and good in orating. But you don't have the type of patience. You don't have the type of firmness. You don't have the type of composure. When we don't have the type of composure, you're losing the person. And you lose the person permanently afterwards. Whenever he sees you, he'll think of you, right? This person said this about me, and this is how he conducted himself. So these are the third thing. This is the third thing that he says: iman, amal, and muhabbat. You speak with love, speak with consideration, politeness, and if you do these three, then Fatiha alam, you'll be able to conquer the entire world. The Tabligh Jamaat speaks about iman, amal they speak about when they speak about namaz. And ilm and zikr, right? The amal is there. And the third thing they speak about is akhlaq, ikram a Muslim, right? So you got these three basic things, then inshallah the whole world is yours. That's what that poet says, that karo fizaye badar paida, farishte teri madad ke liye utar sakte hain. That create that mahol, create that environment, and you'll find the malaika coming to your rescue, they're coming to your assistance. But you fulfill your side of the equation. You want that answer to come, you want good responses, but your side of the equation, are you fulfilling it? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.